Hello, Inside the Tribe listeners. Tim's co-writer, Camille, here. Just letting you know that new episodes of my other investigation called The Nurse are publishing throughout March. And if you're keen to listen, search for The Nurse in your podcast app, press the follow button, and the latest episode will be at the top of the feed. Here's a little preview of one of the new episodes. It's called We Fly as One.
The creation of child exploitation material is a serious sexual offence against children, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And yet you told the Secretary that as at the 31st of July, there was no evidence to suggest that any criminal activity had taken place within or connected to the LGH. The whole sentence is wrong, isn't it, Dr. Renshaw?
It's poorly worded.
It is wrong, is it not?
It is poorly worded.
I can only explain it the way that I have.
Well, can I suggest to you it's misleading?
Am I allowed to answer? Look, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to answer the question, but you keep on providing interruptions to me, and I am sorry if I'm getting a little upset.
My concern with you doing the series is you're essentially... I was worried you were flogging a dead horse about James Griffin, to put it very, very bluntly.
Well, hello there. My name is Camille Bianchi. I'm a journalist. If you've followed the Nurse podcast and the saga that unfolded through season one after we outed one of Tasmania's most notorious predators, welcome back. For everyone else, you're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest stories in Tasmanian history. We're going to publish a handful of episodes into the feed over the coming weeks, getting you up to speed on a recent commission of inquiry into child sexual abuse in Tasmanian institutions. The final report is in and it is damning. And we need to make sense of the story so far to understand where we're going next. This all starts with a survivor who would become an Australian of the Year, Grace Tame, along with journalist Nina Fennell. They changed the gag laws in Tasmania that had prevented victim survivors from being able to tell their own stories and be named publicly, thus paving the way for more reporting in the space. It meant that when a paediatric nurse came to me in 2020 with allegations of a predator on Ward 4K at Launceston General Hospital, the marvellous victim survivor Keely McMahon could share her story about being molested by Jim Griffin. I began publishing episodes about his abuse and a cover-up by his employer, the Launceston General Hospital, in October 2020.
The Tasmanian government is investigating allegations of child sex abuse against a Launceston nurse who died last year.
Griffin had been belatedly charged in 2019, but took his own life while on bail.
And what started as a deep dive into how a paedophile operated on a Tassie kids ward for 20 years became a rolling snowball. Reports of other alleged predators began landing in my inbox, including two accused paedophiles with complaints about them buried by the same hospital that employed Griffin.
Hindsight is clear. I wish I had made a photocopy of my report, especially from what I found out later.
Then came the wash of horrific stories from Ashley Youth Detention Centre after a very brave whistleblower and worker, Alicia, stood up for the kids being heard inside, allegedly by at least one staff member and other inmates.
They were unattended for so long that the boys were able to organise someone to be a watch or a guard at the door, and the other boys took turns sexually abusing her.
By late 2020, there were hundreds of allegations against teachers past and present in schools in a shocking history of cover-ups since the 70s.
It certainly appears that these decisions to move around alleged perpetrators from school to school have happened from both a school management level to a Department of Education level. It seems to have been a very, very disturbing trend and very, very much reminiscent of the way that the Catholic Church had dealt with alleged perpetrators.
That was Hobart Mercury journo Amber Wilson, who broke the bombshell on the movement of teachers from school to school in 2020. That brings us to the calling of a commission of inquiry, something child safety advocates and the Greens Party had been calling for since 2003. So began something of a reckoning into a state shame. It was in play by 2021, and commission of inquiry hearings finally began the next year. By then, victim survivors like the extraordinary Tiffany Skeggs, the first to report her abuser Jim Griffin in 2019, had found their voice publicly.
I was told that Griffin had been on their radar for quite some time, but they just needed someone like me to come forward and say so.
As it happens, someone else had been trying to speak out since 2017. This podcast is actually named after the male nurse whose name I want you to remember above the baddies, my old housemate Will Gordon, the whistleblower from Ward 4K. Here's him giving evidence.
We felt like concerns wouldn't be made, wouldn't be heard or followed through if we made concerns about certain people, in particular James Griffin.
The Commission of Inquiry cost $42 million. There were 93,000 documents and notably hundreds of witnesses and 100 criminal referrals. Dozens of public servants have been stood down over allegations of child sexual abuse or related issues. Just to emphasise, that's dozens. Here's Tasmanian Premier Jeremy Rockliff in 2022.
We failed you. We are all accountable and we are sorry.
The recent commission in Tassie followed on from another one, this time a federal royal commission, 8 years earlier into the same issue. In both, the burden was overwhelmingly borne by victim survivors. Those who are badly let down in many cases are directly responsible for changes that will make children safer. They can be so proud. Despite the extraordinary, grueling work of the staff, commissioners, lawyers, secretaries, in some ways their hands were tied, with some very expensive red tape. This is an ABC report.
Tasmania's Commission of Inquiry made misconduct findings against one person. The commissioners felt they should make misconduct findings against 21 other people, but said they were prevented from doing so by the onerous legal process.
I think what you've got to ask is it in the interest of the state to have such obstructive, potentially obstructive and onerous legislative protections in place for public servants, such that it's impossible for a commission of inquiry to legitimately make findings of misconduct against those public servants.
That's Meg Webb, a Tassie politician who got in a pickle late last year when she used her seat in Parliament to name names of people who were reportedly in the crosshairs of investigators working for the commission of inquiry.
I did get up in Parliament and note that on careful reading of the report, and looking at the footnotes throughout all volumes, the 3,000 pages and all volumes, there's actually 22 people who are referenced in footnotes with procedural fairness response next to their names. So in Parliament, I got up to raise the question, does this give us an indication of who the Commission may have been looking to make a misconduct finding against? The Premier was quite cross about what I had said in Parliament, to say the least.
Jeremy Rockliff, the Premier of Tasmania, said there was no cover-up. The government did not get notice of potential negative findings for a list of public servants. She had made assumptions.
Assumptions that are not only wrong at law and inaccurate, but which have now maligned many individuals and entities.
The next day, Premier Rockliff admitted the state's lawyer had received the same list as Ms. Webb back in April, which flagged potential misconduct findings on a list of people. But his office hadn't been informed. This is the opposition, Labor, a couple of weeks later.
Why haven't you demanded as the Premier that action be taken so that these individuals and their conduct can be followed up rather than what appears to be the case? It's just kind of blind faith that something's going to happen and hopefully children will be safe, or hopefully the cover-up behaviour that was exhibited that led to the Commission of Inquiry issuing them Section 18 notices won't continue. I can't wrap my head around the lack of interest and urgency from your government to get to the bottom of who these 21 people are.
I hope you enjoyed that little preview of my new episode of The Nurse. We'll be publishing a bunch of episodes, including a full sit-down with Grace Tame, throughout March. Search The Nurse in your app, hit the follow button, and you'll get all the episodes for free. See you over there.